This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 48. And on this week's episode, we are talking about how to create irresistible, epic content that your audience is hungry for. I'm talking about these 5,000 word blog posts I've been creating that have been getting amazing reception from my audience. So if you're ready to create epic content that creates epic growth, and yes, I think it's epic, you're going to want to tune in. So let's go. Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it. Welcome to another episode of the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. And on this episode, I am so excited to talk to you about planning out really amazing content that gets people excited. Now, we haven't really crunched the numbers on this yet, but what I can tell you is that over the past month, month and a half, I've been releasing some really high value content. And when I say high value, what I mean is releasing content that's, you know, 5,000 plus words on a blog post, giving people guides, creating content upgrades. We'll link to a couple of them in the show notes. The most recent one we did was called How to Get Your First 1,000 Subscribers in Just 90 Days. And the feedback from these has been incredible. We're getting more comments than we've ever gotten. We're getting more social shares. We're getting more reads, Pinterest pins. People have just been loving this content. And I've been getting questions from my audience about how I'm creating this much content, how I'm pushing this much content in the world. But I think the underlying question is, how am I creating content that's really getting consumed by my audience, as opposed to creating content that just takes up space? And so today I want to walk you through like a really simple five-step process to create content that your audience really, really wants. Now, before we dive in, if you haven't already, you definitely want to go over to heartsoulhustle.com/FB course and sign up for my free 5-day Facebook ads mini course. Because as you're going to learn in this training, a big part of your content is promoting it. And we use Facebook ads to promote all the content we create. So if you're looking to create more content with anything at all, whether it's your Instagram, your blog, your website, your webinars, you're going to want to run ads to them. And I've got a free 5-day training waiting for you to help you set up and create that first ad. So again, if you want to check it out, heartsoulhustle.com/FB course. Now, with that out of the way, let's dive in. Now, there's a really simple 5-step process to writing, and I want to share it with you. Some of it you might have heard before in other writing processes. Maybe if you think back to your high school, I know I've heard some of this before, but the 5 steps are research, planning, writing, editing, and promotion. Now, that last one you might not have heard too much in high school English because you weren't promoting your stuff. But these 5 steps, when combined, create a really simple process that allows you to write content that people are hungry for. So let's start with number 1, which is research. Now, too many people skip over this step, and it's something that I resisted my first couple of years, even in business, in various businesses, because I thought research is boring. It's not important. You can come back to the research. But what I've come to learn is that the research is the most important phase, because the reason that our most recent content has been getting so well received, to the point that some of these posts have even gotten invitations to be on other major podcasts, do blog posts, things of that nature, it's because we start with the research and we ask our audience what they want. So there's a few different ways to do research. The way that we love to do it the most, though, is to survey our audience. Now, I know that not all of you have a huge audience and that surveying them might be hard. But if you go to episode number 30 of the show, we'll link it up in the show notes. I'm like 90% sure it's episode 30. We talked a little bit about how to use surveys, and I've got an example of a survey on that show. But there's really 2 ways, even 3 ways that you can survey your audience. There's a super unofficial survey, and I recommend that you do this at every level, which is posting in your group, posting on your page, posting wherever, and just saying, hey, I'm thinking about writing a really comprehensive blog post, but I want to know what you want to know more about. The second way you can do it is with a really simple email to your list that says, hey, I just want to know what you want to know more about. Hit reply and let me know. And then the third way is you could do a really intensive survey. So we actually did a survey back in 2016. We're going to do another one because we really need to do another one in 2017. But really, we just asked some core questions that were super important for us to know. Basically, what we did was we ended up asking people, what is your biggest struggle with marketing? What kind of services do you promote? Are you a coach? Do you sell courses? Are you doing this full time? How would you best describe yourself? What's your biggest issue that's stopping you from selling? What's one thing you need to overcome? What's your current revenue? What's your primary niche? What's your email? We asked all of these questions. And granted, we sent this out to thousands of people and we only got about 100 couple responses back. But we ended up with these really in-depth responses that told us exactly what to talk about. So I highly recommend that if you have an audience, whether it's small, medium, or large, that you consider doing a survey to them, whether unofficial or official, to get real feedback on what they want. Now, if you're like, whoa, I don't have a massive audience, I don't have anybody that I can survey, the other way to research is just to lean in and listen. And you can do this anywhere. You can do this in Facebook groups, on forums, on Reddit. But what you want to pay attention for is, number one, where is your ideal customer already hanging out? For me, it's Facebook groups. And just pay attention to what people are asking about. What questions or problems are popping up again and again in certain spaces, right? So like in the online marketing space, list building is always coming up. People are always asking, how do I build my list? How do I build my list? How do I build my list? People are always asking, how do I make money in my first 30 days? What would you do if you needed to make $1,000 in a week, right? We really pay attention to what those questions are being asked a lot, especially if the responses are not in depth. So the very first thing you do, or you ever take pen to paper, is you find out what you're going to write about. And the research phase really uncovers that. So for our most recent research phase, we were going through all our stuff and people were saying, I really can't build my list. I've got a couple hundred maybe, but I can't get to 1,000. And that sparked our blog post, how to generate 1,000 leads on your list in just 3 months. Because our people want to know how to do it fast and they want to know how to get to that 1,000 mark. And that post has already gotten amazing receival from our audience and has been getting tons of comments and social shares as well. Now that takes us into the second part, which is planning. Now I know you might be thinking, well, like a planning phase, like what do I need to plan? Well, in addition to the content, there's some really important stuff that I think you should do once you know what you want to write about. So at this point you might be saying, okay, I've got my topic. I know what I want to talk about. But now you need to plan, what are the goal outcomes for this? And what am I going to reference within this post? So when I first think about writing a post, after I do that, I start planning what I want to get out of this. So with our ultimate guide to your first 1,000 subscribers, I knew I wanted to generate leads. I knew I really wanted an awesome blog post that was going to generate traffic and shares. And I knew that I really wanted to potentially get a few affiliate sales of my lead pages and my ConvertKit. So before I ever took pen to paper, before I ever started thinking about what was even in the post to a certain extent, I wanted to know what my goals were, and you should always be starting there. Now, if you're not sure, a good goal to have with all of your content is to generate more leads, because more leads ultimately creates more sales in our business. Whether you have funnels or not, the more people you have direct line to market to, the more potential for revenue there is in your business. It's just really that simple. So I recommend that every post or piece of content that you think about creating in some capacity is designed to generate more leads. You also want to think about, what do you want this to be in terms of relevant to your business? Should this be a piece of content that you're referencing over and over again? Is this a one-off piece of content that you're just using for a launch? Think about, how can I use this content going forward? And then finally, you get to the point where you actually start planning the post. Now, I've started using this really amazing program that I absolutely love for planning posts called Scrivener. Now, Scrivener is actually an application. You can get it on Mac or a PC, so it doesn't matter if you're listening to me on your iPhone, your Android, I don't care what school you come from. Scrivener is this really awesome writing app that I love that lets me plan out my ideas. Now, if you're familiar with the note card method of writing, you're familiar with how Scrivener works. Basically, what it is it's a digital kind of board where you can write ideas and sections on note cards, and then you just map out your ideas and create this really simple outline. I believe it's like $40 last time I looked at it for the most recent version. It's about $40, and it works really, really well. And so what I like to do is usually I chunk my content into a timeline of like how long I want the content to be. And in this case, for this last blog, I did 90 days, right? So I chunk this out and I say, okay, there's the intro section, the first month, the second month, the third month, and the conclusion, right? This is something you've probably done if you've ever had an English class in your life. But I love to chunk this out. So I like to work in timelines, but maybe you don't. So you could work in phases or sections. So let's say you're going to teach people how to lose 10 pounds in 10 days. Maybe the first section is the intro, and then it's grocery shopping, and then it's meal planning and or meal prepping, and then it's exercise, and then it's putting it all together, and then it's, you know, signing up for your freebie. Right? So you first chunk your stuff out into sections, and then you use this application, Scrivener, to just put the content in those sections. Just really simple. So to run through how this worked, I'm actually pulling up a Scrivener program that I've used before so that I can totally reference this for you because I just love the way this works. We took my How to Get Your First 1,000 Subscribers, and the first section was called Month 1 Fundamentals and Foundations. And we broke that into one core section, right? Month 1. And then we broke that down even further to breaking down the numbers, to breaking down the action plan, to a research section, to a creation section, to a setup section, to an autoresponder and an affiliate link section, and into a promo section. And then I just made like 2 to 3 bullet points on each of those sections of what was going to go in them. So really all we're doing and what Scrivener really does is it allows you to create large scale outlines for high level content. Now, this is the point where you're also going to decide, is this long form content? Now, most of the major marketers, myself included, think that long form content is the way to go. And when we say long form, we're generally talking about 1,000 or more words. Now, it does take more time, it does take more effort, but it ranks better in Google, it's received better by most readers, and it's a lot easier to get it circulated around Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter. Long form content just tends to be shared and read and digested more frequently. So if you want to use this to generate leads, I recommend that you create long form content. Okay, so just to step back to what we've done so far, we've researched what our audience wants and we've solved a problem. We've set our goals for our business, our goals for our content, and our goals for our list. And we've started to plan out our content. We've broken it down into major sections and subsections. And again, you don't have to use Scrivener. We'll actually put a picture of it, of the actual application, on the show notes so that you can take a peek at what it looks like. But just know that you can also do this in a notebook, on a piece of paper. It doesn't really matter. The big thing that does matter is that you're actually planning your content before you take pen to paper. Again, planning is something that I put off for literally a couple of years. And in 2017, I've started planning all of my content so much more intensively. And while it seems like it's going to take you more time, it's not. It makes everything a million times faster. So once you've done your research and your planning, then we go into the writing phase. So writing or creation, you could also do this with video content. That's not my strong point, so I'm gonna keep talking as if you're creating blog content, but you go into the writing phase. Now, what happens in the writing phase that I see a lot of people do is they write inside of WordPress or Squarespace. I recommend you nix that and write in a Google Doc. Number one, it removes distractions. So if you're in WordPress or you're writing within whatever your editor is, not only are there a ton of distractions, but also if Google Drive crashes, all of your content is saved. If WordPress or Squarespace crashes, not all of your content is saved. So I always like to, first things first, open up a Google Drive. The second thing I do is I print out this outline that I've made, or I open it up side by side. So after one of my really successful launches last year, I got myself a massive gift, one of the biggest gifts I ever got myself in my business, and I got myself a 27-inch iMac so that I can use my notes on one side and my work on the other side. So that's how I do it. But before I had a 27-inch iMac, all I did was print stuff out or write it in a notebook. So you want to print out your notes so that you're working side by side with your notes and your content. And what you're going to do next is just write. And if you get to a section that needs a link, you highlight it in yellow, but you keep writing. One of the biggest things that causes people to avoid writing blog posts or avoid writing at all is that it takes too much time. But it takes too much time because when you start writing from a plan, you just write and go. You don't stop to edit. You don't stop to correct typos. You don't stop to add in links. You don't stop to do anything because up to this point, you've already researched what your audience wants. You've already done the research on what's going in it. You've already created the outline. focus just on writing. Now, you'll come back, of course, and you'll edit it, but the biggest thing here is just get all the content on paper. Now, I usually like to work in about 35 to 40 minute sprints, and then I usually take a 5 to 10 minute break, drink some coffee, stretch my feet. But for those 30 to 45 minutes, I'm not getting messages on Facebook, I'm not talking to people, my cell phone is on silent, I'm literally giving everything I have to writing these really amazing posts. And what's really fascinating to me is I get comments all the time where people are like, it must have taken you weeks to write those. The research, the planning, the publishing, working with my team, that might all take a couple of weeks, but the actual writing of most of these posts is done in a day. And that might sound daunting and you might not be at that level yet, but that's okay. But I want you to understand that the writing is really simple and quick and easy because all I'm doing is taking my plan and expanding on it, right? So sit down, push everything out, and you just get it on paper. Then what you do is you walk away for 24 hours and you come back to the fourth step, which is the editing. Now, I myself am a really horrible editor, so I have a confession for you guys, which is I don't edit a lot of my own content. I work with a copy editor, and I'd rather be transparent with you because editing is not my strong suit. However, even working with a copy editor, I still do one quick run through. So even if you're thinking about working with an editor, even if you're thinking about having someone on your team edit it, I still recommend that you read through and edit it once at least 24 hours after you've written it. So take a day off, let your eyes and your mind rest from all the content that you just created. But when you come back, edit it through once. And the first time you edit through, check for typos. This is where you can add in the links, make sure that your voice is good. And then this is where you have one of two options. You can either give it to someone else to edit. You can hire somebody. Maybe you have a family member that will do it. Real talk, when I couldn't afford an editor in the early days, my mother, who's an amazing English major, helped me edit all kinds of stuff, right? So find what resources you have. And if it's just you, that's okay. But do your 24-hour scan. And then if you're going to edit it, wait 2 days before you edit it a second time. And that time you're going to check the voice, the text, the grammar, etc. Now, the third time you edit it is when you migrate it from Google Drive to whatever you're working in, okay? So the last thing you're going to do, the last editing phase is actually a publishing phase. So there's the edit slash publish, where the third time it's being edited is when you're putting it into whatever platform you use for your blog. Because if you work in Google Drive and you paste it in, you're going to have to reformat it. Now, I know that that's not the best. And yes, it's probably going to take about an hour to reformat it when you're talking 5,000-7,000 words. However, as you're reformatting, you get to see how it reads. You get to see it in its actual environment, right? Because the way something looks in a Google Drive is much different than how it's going to look on your website. And so you edit in real time, you format in real time, and you're just reading through to get the voice right at this point. So up to this point, you fix the typos, you fix the grammar. Now you're just checking the voice. Do you like the way it sounds? Do you like the way it flows? Should sections be moved around? This is like the final edit. And then you hit the publish button, okay? So as you guys know, because you've listened to a few episodes before, I hope, and if not, you should go listen. But I always like to step back when I've just thrown a ton of stuff at you and recap. So let's do that. So the first thing we did was research our audience, either with a survey or a lean-in, depending on your current audience size. And then we planned out our content. And not just the content itself, but the goals we wanted, and we started thinking about how we want to promote it. Then using a notebook, note cards, the Scrivener application I told you about, we outline the way we want our blog post to look. And again, I'll take a picture of this Scrivener post and I'll put it inside the show notes so that you can see exactly what it looks like. It's one of my absolute favorite apps. Couldn't recommend it enough. Not an affiliate, just think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread once I figured out how to use it. We map it all out. Then you lock yourself in a room for a couple of hours and you write. And you don't edit and you don't add links and you don't go Googling and you don't have conversations. You just head down, write. And then you go through three phases of editing. You wait 24 hours and edit once, and then you either send it off to an editor or you wait another 48 hours and edit it again. And then you edit it a third time when you migrate it over to your blogging platform, because remember, you should be writing it in the Google Drive. So when you bring it over to WordPress or Squarespace or whatever you're publishing your content in, you give it a third read through. And this read through is more about voice, positioning. Do you like where everything is? Do you have content upgrades that you want to install? And then final phase is promotion. Now, the promotion phase, there's a little bit of overlap with the editing phase, because at this point, you should have this really awesome piece of content. And I recommend that you also create a content upgrade for these really high-level pieces of content. A content upgrade is just something that enhances the reader's experience. So if you go to my ultimate guide to your first 1,000 subscribers, again, we'll link it up in the show notes, what we have is like a cheat sheet. So if you want the 0 to 1,000 person checklist, you put in your name, and what we do is we send you a checklist of every action item from the blog post, right? You don't have to download that to get the most out of the post. It's not required in any way, shape, or form to get the most out of it, but it increases the experience for the reader and it increases the value that's being perceived as I'm generating more leads in my business, okay? So right before you start your promotion, decide, do I want a content upgrade? And right before you hit publish, that's the time to add it in. We usually like to put ours at the top and the end and somewhere in the middle for any post that has more than 5,000 words. So we spread it out, we give people lots of opportunity to opt in, okay? So your last phase is the promotion phase. Now, you might have heard this before, maybe you haven't, but they say that 80% of your time should be spent promoting content. Now, I can honestly say that this is something that I struggle with because I'm such a creator. I think a lot of us struggle with this because we want to create. But the truth is, creating content that people want is important, right? Doing that research is vital. But just because you do the research and write a really awesome post does not mean that everyone's going to see it. In fact, it doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't even sort of imply that. All that writing this content means is that you've taken a piece of content and you've put it online. Now what you need to do is get about promoting it. So I'll give you some of the stuff that we do, but just know that you have created this really rich piece of content that speaks directly to your audience's desire because of the research phase. So you can be thinking about ways to promote this content on Evergreen. So for example, we're using the Meet Edgar application, which we had the pleasure of interviewing the founder, Laura Roeder, on this show. We'll link that up in the notes as well. But we automate our post to repost this blog post on a regular basis, right? So this is a 7,000 word blog post that we know gets read because we've looked at our analytics, that we know people like, that we know people are signing up for the content upgrade. Like, this is a good piece of content. Well, I'm going to have more people in my audience 2 weeks from now and 4 weeks from now and 4 months from now. And so you want to make sure that you're promoting your content on a regular basis. So to bring it back, you know, we were just talking about 80% of the time you should be promoting. Well, guess what? If you create a piece of content today and you promote it for the next year, you're promoting it more than you spent time writing it. So start thinking about what are ways I can continually promote my content. What we like to do is, number one, we absolutely email our list about it. Number two, we absolutely run Facebook ads to it because it's designed to generate leads and build our business. So we're okay running ads to it. We post on Facebook. We post in our group. We're starting to play with Pinterest because Pinterest is fantastic for content marketing. Definitely not a Pinterest expert, but I'm learning. And we just keep promoting the content. So what I want you to think about right now is that you might not have a massive audience. So I want to kind of imagine that I'm most of my listeners for a second. And you might be saying, well, Zach, I only have a couple hundred on my list, or maybe even less than that. So if I make this awesome content and I promote it, it's not going to get a lot of reach. That's okay. Because of three things. Number one, we're creating content that is highly shareable and is designed to reach more people. So maybe you only have 40 or 50 people to promote to, but hopefully one or two of them is going to share it and they're going to reach another 5 to 10 people, right? So every time you promote these pieces of content, you're expanding your circle. Now, if you create content like this, let's say even once a month, 6 months from now, you might have, you know, hundreds of new people watching you. Now, when you go back to the piece of content from the beginning of the year and promote it again, you have all of these new people that have never seen it before. So when we're talking about making amazing content, we have to remember that it's a long game. It's not about what this content can do for you today. I was having a really awesome conversation with one of my friends who's a really fantastic content marketer. And she said sometimes that these long form posts don't get legs for months. Like, she writes a really awesome post. She has a list of tens of thousands of people. She emails it out. And then 3 months down the road, it suddenly picks up a life of its own. It gets shared on Facebook. Someone important pins it on Pinterest, right? We don't need a million shares. We need a handful of the right shares. And what we're doing is creating content that improves the chances of getting those good shares. So I don't want to cop out too much here, but I want you to understand that you should be promoting most of the time. And basically what this is an invitation to do is create amazing free stuff and just continue to push it in front of your audience. That's what this is all about, okay? So just to recap before we wrap it up here, it's a simple 5-step process. Research what your audience wants and get to the core desire of their problem. Either survey them or lean in and listen to your audience where they already are. 2, plan your content and your goals. What do you want this content to do for you? Generate leads, generate readers, get people into a launch, get people to a webinar. And what is the content going to be? You can map it out on a notebook, on note cards. I mentioned the Scrivener app. And then 3, write it. Do it in a Google Doc so that it's being saved in real time. And do not do anything but write. Don't edit. Don't go back. Don't search for links. Don't answer your phone. Give yourself time to write. Do it in 30 to 45 minute blocks, depending on your own personal abilities and temperament. And then 4 is to edit it. Remember, we have a 3-step editing process. Let it sit for 24 hours after you write it and do your first edit for spelling and grammar and some links. Second edit is 48 hours later. You either outsource that or you do it again yourself after taking a rest. Again, you check for voice, images, copy, anything else that needs to be added. And then finally is the 3rd edit, which is when we publish it to our website. And this is where we add in content upgrades. We check for flow. We double check that we like the way our images are, the way it reads, the way it looks. We double check our voice. It's just the last little polish before everything goes out. And then finally, we promote. 80% of our time should be spent promoting, which you've probably heard before. But remember, what I've just helped you walk through is a process to define cornerstone content for your business. And everybody calls it a different thing. We like to call it cornerstone content. I have friends that call it pillar content. Some people call it central content. It's the content that like speaks for your brand. It is strong, it is in depth, and it really helps people out. So in that last step, you just start promoting it and you make content that can be promoted in perpetuity. Now, before we wrap this up, there's one thing that I might have skipped over a little bit. And I'm not sorry because I wanted to save it till the end. And that is give people good content. So there's this last little piece here, which is I kind of told you how to map it out and how to research and how to figure out people's pains. But the thing that most people skip here is they get kind of vague or unspecific. And they just put out content that's like, want to build your list? Create a freebie and drive ads to it, right? Or want to lose 5 pounds? Here's how to eat clean. Go deeper than anyone else is willing to. Share more than anybody else is willing. Don't stress that you're going to give away too much for free on the front end, right? I'm not saying give away the farm. I'm not saying give away all your course secrets. But what I'm saying is you probably have 5,000 words in you about how to do something, and you're afraid to share because you think that if you put that content out there, people won't want to buy from you. I want you to understand that the opposite is true. When you lead in with such high value content, content that is so valuable to your audience, and you don't even ask them to pay for it, you don't even ask them to opt in for it, what you're doing is creating such a strong degree of reciprocity that people want more. The opposite happens. They say, oh my gosh, this post was amazing. I better get the worksheet. Oh my gosh, this worksheet was awesome. I better sign up for his newsletter. Oh my gosh, this newsletter is amazing. I better sign up for this webinar. Oh my gosh, I love everything Zach does. I better buy this course, right? That is the game. We're creating content that builds relationships, and relationships are built on honesty, on depth, and that's how I want you to write these posts. So the reality is I've given you this 5-step framework, but you have to be willing to get uncomfortable, to share a little more, to become the go-to in the industry, to not be so stressed that if you share it on your blog that no one else will buy from you. I promise you it's not true. So get out there, make some epic content. And I know that we referenced a ton of stuff here in episode 48. So if you want to get access to anything we talked about, past episodes, some of the things that we referenced in here, resources, you'll head over to heartsoulhustle.com/48. Again, it's heartsoulhustle.com/48 to get the show notes from this week's episode. And I will leave you with this final thought. Get out there and make epic content. Trust me, there is no shortage of content, but there is a shortage of content that is so amazing that makes people hungry for more. My hope for you as a listener is that you heard this, you received it, and you're ready to get out there and make content that shakes the foundation of your industry. So get out there, create epic content, and I'll be back next week with more training. Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.